And yeah, okay. And but anyway, so it's just a joy to have Brother Haynes here tonight. So Brother, you come. We're glad that you're here.
Preacher, man, I appreciate
you. Well, how are you? Everybody doing all right? How many of y'all went on the trip with us to the Res? How many came out to the Res? See us? Man, all these white people. It was scary. White folks out there and stuff. Yeah, let me start out. I want to get this done. Is it okay if I tell you the worst Indian joke ever? This is the worst one. I mean, there's no worse joke than this. And I apologize in advance. Do you know why Native people and Indians hate snow? Because it's white and it's on their land. Okay, we're done. We'll move right on from that. I'll be here all week. Anyway, but so glad. I want to introduce my wife, Tricia, to you. Tricia, if you'd stand. And this is her. Good woman, bad taste in men worked out for me. I'm grateful for that. But 27 years, we've been hanging around natives, living on the reservation. God's been good to us. And those of you that went, you'll see some things that you remember. And but I want to take you to the Navajo country and just show you what God's been doing with us over all these years and stuff. Trisha's figuring out 37 years ago, I made my first trip to Navajo. My eye affected my heart, and God changed me. And I got to be honest with you, I love being here. I enjoy being around you. But man, I can't wait to get back to the Red Rocks. White people make me nervous. I just do. But I'm so grateful that you have a heart for Native folks, and your pastor's been a huge blessing to us. And I think about Brother Rick Dawson a lot, how he came out and was such a blessing. He was such an encouragement to our guys. But your church means a lot to us. So let's go to Navajo. Let me take you out there, and we'll see what's going on in the big country. This is, of course, us, been missionaries since 1996 on the Navajo Nation. We're in the Four Corners region of the United States. Three of the Four Corners are Navajo. The Colorado portion of the Four Corners is run by the Ute Mountain Indian Tribe. And we are roughly the size of West Virginia. We're by far the largest reservation in the country. We cover parts of Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. We live in Ganado. If you see where Window Rock is and go to the west a bit, there's Ganado. That's where we are. Brother Andy Magnarella, our good friend, is on the Hopi Nation. You pray for him. He's the only voice among the Hopi out there, and we thank God for him. When people think of Navajo, they think of the beauty of it. Canyon de Chelly is the sacred canyon of the Navajo people. And it's a beautiful place to visit. This is one of the overlooks there. Their growing season is about 5 days longer in the canyon simply because of the heat that comes off of the red rocks there. This is the Spider Rock, which is a well-known edifice on the reservation. The Navajos teach that the Spider Woman taught the people how to weave the rug to get off the top of this rock. And the Navajos have a legend for virtually anything. Monument Valley on the Arizona-Utah border, one of the most beautiful places on earth. This is the Three Sisters. If you cock your head sidewise and maybe blink a little bit, that's a Catholic nun and two girls. I don't know who decided that, but that's what they said. You know, but one thing about these spires, they do what most men don't. They raise their hands up to God and honor Him, the Creator. There's the Mittens, another famous spot in Monument Valley. And, of course, a lot of the John Wayne films were done here, and this is where The Searchers was filmed. It's called John Ford Point. And but this is, it looks like a postcard, but it is absolutely beautiful spot. You'll notice one thing, it's not legal to have green on the reservation. So you guys have these things called trees. We don't know what those are, but lovely place. The greatest resource of the Navajo Nation is not the beauty and the minerals and all that. It's our people. Vacation Bible School is a huge ministry on Navajo for us. All of our churches have big VBSs. This last year, we averaged over 100 kids every night at our VBS. Had a bunch saved. God is so good. It's just a joy to just turn things into something special for VBS. Every year, we have the Navajo Land Baptist Revival. Brother Stacy Shiflett from Dundalk, Maryland, came out and preached. We had 300 people from about 10 or 15 different churches come. Had a big tent out on the grounds, had a bunch of folks saved and some folks surrendered to preach. And it's exciting when our churches can get together and work, and they always have that at Ganado. The kids are not the future of the Navajo Nation, they're the now. We're just now beginning to get kids come back to church because of the COVID mess, and it's been exciting to see. We're seeing new kids come in, kids being saved, and we're trying to raise, folks, a generation that hasn't known the sins of the first. I got folks in my church who say, "Preacher, when you preach about these things, it hurts us, but please don't stop. We don't want our kids to end up like we did." So it's a blessing. Well, we've got seven wonderful kids. We'd like to introduce them to you. And this is Matt and his wife April. They teach English in Iraqi Kurdistan. We were there recently. They are safe where they are. The Kurds generally like Americans. And it's exciting to see what God's doing over there. You pray for Matt and April, if you would. Nick and Michaela Dunn are in communist China with Jeshurun and Jerushin, Abishai and Damaris. Nick brought the first biblical Bible to China in over 100 years. It's a great story. Love to be able to tell it to you maybe another time. But you pray for them as they work in Tianjin, reaching people for the Lord. Our son Caleb and his wife Anastasia, he is in law enforcement in North Texas. They have Declan, Lily, Julian, and Nathan. This is Brother Joel and Fabiola. They got five boys. What sins my daughter-in-law committed to have five Haynes boys, I have no idea. Brother Joel says, well, Dad, we didn't have any girls, but I'll get five girls I didn't have to raise. I said, you assume that five women will marry your rotten sons, but that's how it is. But Joel Jr., Judah, I've surrendered to preach, Titus, Justice, and Jonas. Real proud of them. Brother Joel preaches all around the country. God's really used him in a mighty way. Real proud of him. It's David and Esther, Monsevice. He pastors one of the churches that Joel started down in Chambers, Arizona. Adeline was their first child, and then this last February, they had Elena. Church is doing really well. This is Chris and Tirza Cowan. They work at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Las Cruces, New Mexico, where Brother Doug Cowan's the pastor. Chris works for his dad. They have four kids. Yesterday, Noah James Cowan was born. We will go see him in a day or two and stuff. He looks like his dad, but we're praying for him. There's our youngest, Keturah, her husband, Jason. She's in the banking industry. Jason's in pest control, and they're faithful members at True Light Baptist Church in Los Lunas, where Brother Matt Wooten's the pastor, and real proud of them. Got to see them before we came up. Priority number one in Navajo is church planting. Ganado Baptist Church, we've been there since 2006. It serves as the hub for Mission Start of the Navajo Nation. The goal was to start 10 churches in 15 years, and we've reached that goal. God's been good to us. There's more to be started and other tribes to be reached. Our auditorium is a central meeting place. It's right on the main highway. We have a lot of special meetings there. The Bible College is here. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's an ideal location, and a lot of churches have been encouraged through missions and have been started through Ganado. Every year we have the Navajo Nation Cowboy Revival. Brother Gerald McElroy is the pastor of Greater Waco Baptist Church in Waco, Texas. He's a world champion mounted shooter. Comes and brings his church group out. They bring horses. He teaches off the back of the horse. It's not a church service, man. We got people from the community. It is different, but it's exciting. We always have 100 to 300 people show up. We got folks in our church who've been saved at this meeting. It's just a great outreach. There's a rodeo grounds right next to our church, so it's exciting to see that. Tricia hosts a annual ladies retreat. This year's retreat saw over 140 ladies from around 20 churches, and there were three ladies saved in this meeting. It was great. Miss Loretta Walker is going to be preaching next year on that one. And she does. She does. Solid Rock Baptist Church was the first church that Brother Joel started out from under Ganado. It's pastored by Brother Jones Juanica. It's also the home of the Navajo Land Baptist Youth Camp. 100 young people more gather every summer to be challenged and encouraged in the Lord. Navajo Land Baptist Youth Camp this year, we had 153 campers that came, representing six Native American tribes. There were seven saved and two young men surrendered to preach. One of those young men is in our Bible college right now. We're really excited about that. Just a great crowd, a lot of fun where our Navajo kids can get together. Chambers Baptist Church, where Brother David pastors, this church is really starting to grow. They have 50 or 60 every Sunday. It's off the reservation. It's a miracle. This land we actually own and the building we own, just the way God gave that to us is just something to behold. But it's a great place, about 4,000 or 5,000 Navajos in the area. Old Paz Baptist Church is in Fort Defiance near Window Rock, our tribal capital. It's started by Brother Ryan Nez. This was their first Sunday, and it's near the Window Rock. That's the capital of the Navajo Nation. I asked the Navajos, I said, what's the significance of the Window Rock? They said, well, brother, we heard the white man was coming, so we just cut that hole to have something to show to him when he got there. That's not true, but I mean, you know, works for me. There's Brother Ryan and his family, and they are the proud parents of four beautiful children. I'd like to introduce you to Josiah, and great-looking kid. He had a lot of challenges getting him here. He's had several surgeries, but that boy is doing real well, and we're real proud. This family is awesome. Brother Ryan, the day he got saved, was going to shoot and kill his wife and his daughter. But she said, let me tell you about Jesus one more time. He got saved that night out of a life of alcohol. Now he reaches his own people. Couldn't be more proud of Ryan. He pastors Old Paths Baptist Church. This is their church plant. And what looks even better than this now, there's been a lot more work to it. And there's a new community coming up in the background here. It's a real exciting place for them to be able to reach people for the Lord. Indian Wells Baptist Church is in a remote community. It's about 40 miles from Ganado. Brother Justin Barnett married Tiffany Yazzie. She was a young lady saved in our ministry as a child, and they're planting a church. And this is a rough area. He's out of Trinity Baptist in Arlington, which is our home and sending church. When they were about to get married, Miss Tiffany asked me to kind of, look over Brother Justin. I said, well, you can marry him, but you can't have children. She goes, well, Brother Mark, why? Redheaded Navajos. It's not of God. Not of God. But honestly, they got beautiful kids, so I was wrong. It was really good. So you pray for them. A lot of the mission churches out there use our baptistry because they don't have one. So it's a blessing to be able to share that and help the churches in that. Stronghold Baptist Church, where the pavement ends and the Wild West begins. This is one of the roughest communities on the reservation. Murders all the time. Every member of this church has been sexually abused. And every member of this church has been on meth. It is an unusual church, and God's doing incredible things with these folks. I can't even begin to tell you. They've already outgrown their building. They're going to be building a 200-seat auditorium this year and starting a Christian school. God's been really good. This church will do what Ganado has done, and I think they'll do a better job of it too. Excited about what they're doing. Newcomb Baptist Church, a missionary abandoned these folks, and it kind of fell in our lap. Brother Ryan Nez has added this to his responsibilities, but the good news is there's a young man, Navajo man, by the name of Ryan Harrison, our Bible college. He has surrendered to be the pastor of this church, and it's exciting. They got an abandoned church building and church site. They're redoing that building, and when Brother Ryan graduates from Bible college and undergoes some more training, he'll become the pastor. That's exciting. Navajo men doing the work of the Lord, the way it should be. Crown Point Baptist Church was started right in the middle of COVID, and they meet in a little community called Dalton Pass, redid this whole building. The pastor there is Brother Aaron Nelson, and Brother Aaron's got an amazing story of his salvation. I may share that tonight in the message, but he and his lovely wife, Alarita, have five great kids. Alariana and Pi, the oldest two, have surrendered to missions. They're a great family, and God's really using them in a mighty way. If one priority one is church planting, 1A is training native leadership. Ganado Baptist Bible College is in its 12th year of operation. We have got 24 students enrolled. That's a record for us, and excited about seeing that. My wife teaches 18 piano students, and this is the largest group she's ever had. Teach older folks, also teach the young. But we need prepared leaders. We need to train instrumentalists for our churches. And we're just excited to see so many of our Navajo people take advantage of this in the college. And she flies away. There she goes. All right. The Nez and Nelson families were our first graduates. We've got other graduates out there doing the work. Brother Diedrich Hobbs, who's a member of Brother Joel's church, was saved in our ministry as a boy. He's starting deputation this month. And he's going to start a church in Chinle, Arizona, one of the largest communities on the res. Doesn't have a Bible preaching church. We're excited to see what God does with Diedrich and his family. A few years ago, Brother Daryl, my assistant, called me and said, Pastor, you know there's a guy asleep on the floor in our church? I said, no, Daryl, I don't know that, as a matter of fact. Went up there, and this is Fernando. He's an old drunk, but he's my friend. Always loved that guy. He stole what he thought was wine out of our refrigerator. It was actually Kool-Aid or Hawaiian Punch. He was very disappointed. But, I called the police on him just for his safety because it was cold that day. A few days later, I saw him and waved at him. His brother-in-law is Brother Jones Juanica, who pastors the church down there at Noslini. We prayed for Fernando for years. I just buried him last year. And the answer is Christ. We can talk about all the alcohol and drugs on the reservation. It's bad. But boy, when Jesus comes, he changes lives. Almost everyone in my church was a train wreck. And look at what God's taking them right now. I couldn't be more proud of what God's doing. But there are other Fernandos out there. You pray for them if you would. Faith Baptist, I want to thank you. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for supporting our guys out there. It's a blessing to be able to show our ministry to you, but I appreciate the honor of serving on the res, and we thank God for what you have done to be an encouragement to us. Our ministry verse is Isaiah 35:6b, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. 27 years, Ms. Haynes and I have just tried to take the water of the Word of God to the desert of sin, which is an Navajo nation. And God's doing something, gang. It's not because of me. It's not because of my wife or my son. It's because the people cried out for help. And I'm grateful to see what God's done. Sun setting on Navajo. Come and help us. Thank you for watching. I appreciate it. Well, that's home, and we'll be back within the Red Rocks tomorrow. We're excited about the chance to get back home, but I want to thank you for allowing us to come. It's just such a blessing to be here. Good to see Brother Ben and family. Just a blessing. I'm glad to see you. And you folks that came out, you did make an impression. I want to thank you for coming. Not everybody loves Native people. They just don't. And we can tell our folks out there, they talk about the abuse that Native folks have gone through, and they've gone through a lot. But can I tell you something good? Baptists are the only group that can be proven historically to never persecute Natives. Never did. And I had the privilege when I was over in Indiana, they took me to the Maria Creek Baptist Church that's rebuilt in Vincennes. That's where Isaac McCoy was. He was the first Baptist missionary to Native people. Lost 10 of his kids, or 11 of his kids. But his last words were, "Brethren, never let the Indian mission decline." By God's grace, we've tried to do that. And I want to thank you for being a part. Take your Bibles with me, if you will. Let's go to the book of Nahum, shall we? Book of Nahum. I want to be a help to you tonight. You guys have already been such a blessing to us. We've enjoyed the time and the fellowship. And I just want to give you something that'll help you and encourage you. Just a few months ago, I was in the community of Al-Kosh, which is in Iraq, when ISIS was running wild over there. They got to within 5 miles of that place. But in Al-Kosh is the tomb of Nahum. And I had the privilege of reading this scripture that I'm reading to you tonight in front of that place. And people walking by who didn't know the Lord. It's called a Christian community, but what they call Christian is just ethnic. It's not anything. And folks, I'll tell you this. Everybody that we met over there in Iraq was friendly, but friendly doesn't mean open to the gospel. But I know that there's a work there where there's 24 people. And a Muslim man recently is a Syrian refugee. He got saved, and they're preparing to get him baptized. And they asked him, said, "Do you want us to baptize you in secret for safety?" And he said this, "I don't remember my first birth, and I don't want anybody to miss knowing that I've had my second birth." So they're going to be baptized in front of us. So it's awesome. It's just great. Let's stand, if you will, for the reading of God's Word. I hope that's all right. That's what we do on the res. And just so Nahum chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Nahum 1, 1 through 7. The Bible says, "The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him." Lord, we need you tonight. Father, show up, because we can't do anything without you. And Lord, so long ago, as you and I sat together as we studied the Word, you showed this to me, and it helped me so much. Lord, would you help again? Lord, I sure need you. I want to be your conduit tonight and be a blessing. Lord, these folks have already blessed us multitude of times. Would you allow me to just let you do what you need to do tonight? Love you, Lord. Hope I make you happy tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Most of you know that Nahum is, if you will, the sequel of Jonah. Jonah, written about 100 years before the book of Nahum. Jonah was, of course, the reluctant revivalist. Here's a guy that had 600,000 people saved and got mad about it. I mean, just unbelievable. Just the grumpy prophet, you know. Had the world's first submarine ride, got thrown up on the beach, and then he shows up in Nineveh with, you know, gastric acid and seaweed all around him saying, "Repent." I would have. And they all listen. I mean, everybody, from the king on down. They even put the animals in sackcloth and ashes. And they repented and got saved, and he got mad about it. But you understand that the Assyrians were the ISIS of their day. How that they would destroy another army and they would cut off the large toe of the other army so they couldn't run, and cut off the thumb so they weren't able to hold a sword. And then they would, the last thing the king would see that they conquered would be the death of his family before they would take hot pokers and put his eyes out. And they would put a hook under his jaw and then drag him to Nineveh. Folks, can I tell you, I understand why Jonah was afraid, but if God calls you, you got to go. You got to go where God tells you to. And he had a great revival, and the whole city turned to Christ. But 100 years later, when Nahum was written, the city had gone back to their wickedness and their ungodliness. And when you read the book of Nahum, it is an absolute blasting of God where he says, "I am going to wipe you out." And boy, can I tell you, the Bible's true. We were there. We stood in a place called Dahok, where our children are. And we stood up and looked across a valley. You can see the lights of Mosul, which is ancient Nineveh. And that's where ISIS was basing themselves. And the tomb of Jonah was virtually destroyed by all the bombing. There's almost nothing left. We did see the reliefs of Sennacherib. And I know it was crazy, but I stopped and prayed and said, "Lord, thank you for kicking his tail by Hezekiah." And it was just great to see that God nailed him and stuff. But just an amazing place to be. But now they've gone back to their idolatry. They've gone back to their wickedness. And God erupts at them in the book of Nahum. But it's almost as if, now look, I'm tired of churches that are trying to bring God down to their level. I don't need a God at my level. I need a God who's high and exalted and lifted up. And that's the God I serve. But it's almost as if God said, "You know what? Let me stop here, because I've shown them my anger and my wrath, but let me show you that in the midst of the wrath of God, there's mercy." And I'm telling you, I believe that over in that land and over in China, wherever it is, I don't care if they're Muslim, I don't care if they're Hindu or Buddhist, if someone will call out in repentance and faith and call on Jesus Christ, he'll save anyone that comes after him. One thing I love about my God, he is colorblind. He doesn't care about the color of your skin, doesn't care about your ethnic background. He cares about your heart, and I love that. By the way, I'll say this, native religion by its very nature is racist, because the Hopis have a God, and the Navajos have a God. You know what? My God takes everybody. I like that. So when we look at this, this is what you'd call the silver lining in God's storm cloud. In the midst of his wrath, he gives three simple points here in verse number 7 that are so easy to see, but sometimes we forget them. Number one, the Lord is good. The Lord's good. Now, preacher, everybody knows that. No, not everybody does. Out on our reservation, they have the skinwalkers. Those are the men that are medicine men who can turn themselves into coyotes or wolves at night. Now, we know they can't do that, but there's a lot of demon oppression on the reservation. And these guys hold great sway. And I've seen young Navajo teenage boys just shake in fear at the thought of the skinwalker. And when we first moved to the reservation, we were told by some of our friends, says, "Brother Mark, we think you're being witched, because there were some weird things going on around our place." Can I tell you something? My God can whip their God. So I'm not worried about that stuff. But we get to tell the Navajo people about a God who is good, who loves them. Folks, thank God that you have a church that's separated, that believes in old Bible separation. I think that's a great thing. But you know, sometimes there are people that come in our door and they don't know the drill. We know when to get up and sing. We know when to do everything. And they come not knowing a thing. We had a lady come to our church. She came, seemed to enjoy the service, but she wouldn't come back. So we sent our ladies to go over and visit her and say, we want you to come back. I can't come. I don't have any money to pay. She thought that the offering plate you had to pay to come to church. When she found out you didn't, I don't think she gives yet. But that's okay. I'm glad she's coming. I'm glad she's a part. But people don't know these things. Listen, if you've got a roof over your head and food on your table and money in your pocket, God's good. Got to tell you something. If the roof is leaking and the pantry's empty and there's a hole in your pocket, God is still good. Still good. And he's been good to America. He's been good to each of us. By the way, he's been good to the Navajos. Things always weren't well for them. The Navajos suffered greatly at the hand of the U.S. government. I don't go to churches saying, look what you did to Indian people. Custer's been dead a long time. By the way, you know what kind of shirts Custer wore? Arrow shirts. That'll be funny tonight when you go to sleep. That's over. Those days are gone. Now there's a new day, and they're out on our reservation. The Oklahoma churches helped us greatly when we went out. Men like Josh Harjo and Ernest Best and LB Wildcat, guys like that took us under wing, and now those churches are struggling. Not many men surrendered to preach there in Oklahoma. But can I tell you, in Navajo right now, it is happening. It's going on. It's a season, and seasons don't last forever. So we're trying to jump while the iron's hot, reach as many natives as we can, and raise up that second generation of kids. Oh, we've got some young people that are on fire for God and wanting to reach. A young man in our church named Rope, he's going to be discipling someone for the first time. We're excited to see that happen. God has been so good to us. God's good to America. The Navajos went on what we call the long walk. You've heard of the Trail of Tears. But in the long walk, they were taken away. And William T. Sherman, who despised Indians, came back and somehow allowed them to sign the Treaty of 1868 and let them go back home. We're now the largest tribe, second largest tribe population-wise, largest in land. But can I tell you, there are churches that are springing up everywhere. God is good, and we want to show that goodness to people. Number two, number one, Lord is good. Number two, the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. How many people have you heard say, you Christians, you use Jesus as a crutch? Absolutely. Absolutely. I can lean on him and he never fails me. The Navajos had Canyon de Chelly. That was their sacred place, but they'd never met Kit Carson. And when Kit Carson came through, he killed all the horses and burned their crops and destroyed that entire area. It was just unbelievable, the shame that came there. The Navajos were forced to leave their homeland and go to Bosque Redondo in Fort Sumner, New Mexico. But they came back. God allowed them to come back. And now we're seeing a revival take place among our people. Let me tell you about Brother Aaron Nelson. The stronghold his family had was tradition, Navajo tradition. And his mom, who is now saved and a member of Brother Ryan Nez's church, she got irritated with her boy. See, Brother Aaron was saved in a vacation Bible school. By the way, vacation Bible schools work. You may not see the results right away, but it works. It works. When kids get saved, they get saved. And Brother Aaron got saved under the ministry of Brother Neil Forster. But he moved away from there, living with grandma, and lived a wicked life as a whoremonger, doing all kinds of wicked stuff. I got to marry him and his wife. But when he came back, he began to start trying to serve the Lord. And his mother said, why are you going the white man's religion? By the way, Christianity is not a white man's religion. Jesus wasn't white. Thank you. In fact, I'm an outsider, and he grafted me in. And I'm grateful for that. So Brother Aaron's mother said, well, we're having a ceremony for your brother and you need to come. Well, he didn't ask me, but I would recommend he not go, but he went to the ceremony. Here's what he found out. It wasn't for his brother, it was for him. So the medicine man is chanting all night. And he's sitting there all kinds of uncomfortable listening to this nonsense. And they get done with all that singing all night and all the chanting and all the beating of the drum. And his mom looks at the medicine man and says, my son is going the white man's way. Talk to him. Talk to him. And he looked at Brother Aaron and said, is this true, my son? He said, yes, it is. I'm turning to Jesus Christ. I'm not turning back. That medicine man reached under his blanket and pulled out a King James Bible and said, son, it's too late for me. But you go with this book. This book will change our people. Medicine Man Charlie died 6 months later. He loved the money more than the truth. Brother Aaron kicks him, says, "Preacher, I wish I'd been able to witness to him and tell him about the Lord." But that crutch where the first church we started, Brother Leo Leonard, little Navajo sheep herder, had to pay $2,000 for a medicine man to pray for him. He told his wife, Mary, said, "Mary, I hear that Christians will pray for you for free." And we do. And he got saved. I'm wearing his belt buckle. He died years ago. His wife, "This buckle needs repair. I'll never repair it. This is how he wore it when he was herding sheep. I'm honored to wear this belt buckle." That little guy spoke, he spoke only Navajo. He said, "You know, when Brother Mark tells jokes, I listen because he's real funny. When he preaches, I just go to sleep." And he was the only guy in the church I let him do that. He spoke only Navajo, so I let him get away with that stuff. But I'm so glad that we don't have a religion. I'm so glad we have a relationship. God does that. The Lord is good. The Lord's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And the Lord knoweth them that trust in Him. Excuse me. That trust in Him. I'm not well known. I'm not famous by any stretch of the imagination. I do get my name in the sword of the Lord every month. Mark Haynes, P.O. Box 902, Ganado, Arizona. That's how I get my name in. I'm not known, but I can't even call the president of the Navajo Nation. He won't take my phone call. But you know, there's never a time that I can't go to my God and call on Him, because He knows me by name. There are other Mark Haynes. Thank God they're not all like me, but there's other Mark Haynes out there. But can I tell you, He knows me specifically, and He knows you. If it's all right with you, I want to tell you an old story from Navajo. In the Navajo's language, they don't have a word for preacher or pastor. So if I introduce myself and give my occupation, I have to say, and what that means is, I'm a storyteller. And that's exactly what I am. I'm telling the greatest story that's ever been told. I'm telling the story of Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell you the story tonight of Harold Noble. Harold Noble was my mentor. He was the first independent Baptist Navajo ordained. And he taught me the reservation. But on Christmas Day in 1960, Harold Noble was laying in his vomit in the drunk tank in Gallup, New Mexico. Gallup, New Mexico has been called Drunk Town, USA. It is illegal to possess or sell alcohol in the Navajo Nation. And yet, we lead the country in exposure deaths. More people freeze to death in Navajo than any place in the world. Awful. A can of beer several years ago down in Noslini went for $10 a pop by the bootleggers. Harold Noble was drunk and he told me, he said, "You know, Brother Mark, I learned something about alcohol. It's not racist. It'll take anybody." There were Indians, whites, blacks, Latinos, Asians. We were all there. But he said while he was laying there, he woke up and he saw a white man. And a white man, he said, had this book. And he kept pointing at that book and pointing at those guys. And he said, "Brother Mark, I can't explain it, but there was something." And I know what he meant. It wasn't something. It was someone. There was someone that compelled him. "I've got to get to that book." And he crawled up and began to listen to this white man talk about forgiveness of sin. And I'm so glad. Aren't you glad, preacher, it's not the exact words that come out of your mouth that save you? You know, prayer never saved anybody. I prayed when I got saved, but that's not what saved me. It was the heart that turned to Jesus Christ. That's what saved me. And Harold Noble looked up and he said, "God, this is Harold." God knew it was Harold. "And I'm a drunk Indian, and I'm no good. But I heard you say from that book that you'd save men. Would you forgive my sin and would you save me?" God saved Harold Noble that night. Of course, he did what every good Navajo does. He left there and had to hitchhike back home. So he started hitchhiking and galloping. He got picked up by a load of other Navajos, and unfortunately, they were all drunk. So they drove to Window Rock, Arizona. I showed you our tribal capital, and one of the women there said, "Harold, what clan are you?" And he told them their clan. And she said, "You know, that's a stupid clan. Let's just kill him." So they got out of the truck, and these three drunk guys got a tire iron, and they were going to kill Harold Noble. But Harold sobered up. He laid them out and started to run. He ran from Window Rock to St. Michael's, which is about 5 or 6 miles. He said, Brother Mark, I stopped in terror. Brother Harold was trained to be a medicine man as a kid. And his grandfather always told him, grandson, if you sweat in the snow, you will die. It was 10 degrees. It was snowing. And he was soaking wet. And he looked down Highway 264. Most of you were on it. It's a good road. Not in the day. There's an old pickup truck comes chugging up. Old Navo grandfather, and grandfather pulls over, and Harold looked at him and said, grandfather, how far are you going? Now, to understand the story, it's a cultural thing here. Not all tribes do this, but several do. Navos point with their lips. It's just weirdest thing. And when I first went to the reservation, I had a Navo man come to me and said, Brother Mark, come with me. I said, no. A little creepy there. No. Cultural nuance, not going to do it. I asked him, I said, why do you guys point with your lips? They said, oh, Brother Mark, it saves wear and tear on our fingers. I said, no, come on. Brother Noble looked at this old Navajo grandfather. He said, grandfather, how far are you going? Just a little ways. Brother Noble got in the truck, and they drove to the summit, which is about an 8,000-foot pass you have to go over to get to our place, and he looked around and said, I've never seen this old man before. I don't even know who he is. What if he drops me off up here? I'll free. Grandfather, how far are you going? Just a little ways. They drove down to Ganado where we live. He said, man, I just don't recognize this guy. I've never seen him. And man, Ganado is still miles away. Grandfather, how far are you going? Just a little ways. They drove past Burnside Junction, and the road is gone now, but there was a place where you cut off at 264 that a few miles up went to Harold's house, and when he saw the pass, his heart sank. It had snowed for days, and no one had been on that road. Without being told what to do, that old Navajo grandfather turned his truck down that road and started driving. Harold Noble stayed very quiet. When they got to Harold's house, without being told what to do, the old man stopped his truck. And Brother Noble got out and looked at him and said, grandfather, please, where are you going? Just a little ways. Brother Noble told me, he said, Brother Mark, I walked up to my house and turned around to wave goodbye to that man. And there was no truck. And there were no tracks. So you're trying to tell some spooky Indian story. No. There's a God who speaks good Navajo. And he's got angels that watch over us. And I want you to understand something. When Harold Noble got saved, the devil said, I can't have his soul. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to kill that Indian. And God said, no, you're not. Because that's my boy. And he doesn't know it. But there's a 4-year-old kid in Middletown, Ohio, who's going to need him someday to teach him the res to reach your people. I was that 4-year-old boy. Say, preacher, what's this about? The Lord's good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Whether you're drunk in the jail cell in Gallup, whether you're a little kid growing up in a steel town who didn't even know there was a Navajo Nation in 1960, whether you're living in Bourbonnais, Illinois, he knows who you are and where you are. Amen. Folks, all I can tell you is this. I'm a city kid, grew up in Middletown, Ohio. What am I doing in the West? God's got a great sense of humor. When we got married, my wife had to teach me to drive a stick shift. It's an awful story. I mean, my soul. That was the vehicle we were going to drive off in, you know. Day before we got married, we're out there, and I'm grinding meat. You know what I'm talking about? My future father-in-law's up there going. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm the least likely person to be on the Navajo Nation. But you know what? I got to tell you something, gang. It's been some ride. Yeah. It's been some ride. I wouldn't trade it. Wouldn't trade it for anything. I'm glad the Lord's good. I'm glad He's my stronghold. I'm glad He knows who I am. He knows you tonight. If you're not saved, I got to tell you something. Don't try Jesus. That's ridiculous. Jump in. Put your faith and trust in Him. He will change your life amazingly. I mean, you may not live on a res. Man, I'm living every boy's dream, getting to hang around Indians all the time. It's awesome. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Good folks, they don't know good preaching. That's why I can't bring your pastor out real often. They learn what good preaching is. It won't me. But I'll tell you something. It's amazing. And maybe you're a young person. Look, I'm not trying to recruit you to Navajo, but if God calls you, wherever He calls you to go, whether it's Madagascar, whether it's Navajo Nation, whether it's Israel, whatever God calls you, get in the sling. He'll take and use you. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening on purpose. I appreciate it. Real quickly, are you saved and know it? Say, preacher, I'm saved and know it. Raise your hand. I'm saved and know it. Saved and know it. Awesome. Put your hands down. Anyone that I'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I'd like to pray for anyone like that. Not sure I'm saved. Not sure. Pray for me. Anybody not say, preacher, I know what you said is true, and I know I'm preaching the choir tonight, Wednesday night, folks, generally real faithful, I get it. But folks, can I tell you, sometimes we forget these things, and the Lord knows where you are. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what kind of challenge you're facing, but I've got a good God who will be your stronghold, and He knows exactly where you are tonight, and He can help you with any situation you're in. And boy, if you'll just surrender to Him, He will work you and send you to places and do things with you that you've only dreamed about. Lord Jesus, take this invitation and use it. Father, there's someone that needs to come and do business with you. Let them do it. Lord, thank you. They've been so kind to me. Lord, I just thank you for this church and thank you for Brother Angel and just for the friendship over the years. God, please do a work tonight. In Jesus' name, let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, piano's played. If God's spoken in your heart, you need to come and do business. Come on and do it. If you're making a decision that needs accountability, let your pastor know or let one of the workers know. I'm secretly going to become a missionary. No, there's no secrets about that. You just surrender. You let your preacher know. If God's dealing with your heart about something specific, oh, please, please let us know. Please let us know. We'll be able to pray for you and help you. God's dealing with you. Why don't you come tonight?